Welcome to Connecting the Community podcast. I am your host, Marge Andre. I will be connecting you to people, organizations, and events that create community. I am creating this podcast in Richmond Hill, an eclectic and very culturally diverse community with lots of trees and streams and interesting people, just up the hill from Toronto. On this podcast, I will be talking with Dr. Radhika Chawla, an optometrist with a practice here in Richmond Hill. She's a friend and my optometrist. We are going to talk about optometry, eyes, astronomy, and the upcoming solar eclipse. Welcome, Radhika.
Thank you.
Radhika, I'm so glad that we found the time to do this, especially with the solar eclipse coming up. Lots of it's in the news. So you're going to give us some really valuable information. But first, can you introduce yourself? Tell us why you became an optometrist and what's the training, education required? And you know, why were you interested in eyes?
Thank you very much for having me on your podcast today. I appreciate the opportunity. So as you know, my name is Dr. Radhika Chawla. I'm an optometrist in Richmond Hill. So I have run a private practice in Richmond Hill, and we provide care for patients of all ages. I went to McMaster for my undergrad, and I did a degree in biology there. From there, I went on to complete my doctor of optometry, and that was at the State University of New York College of Optometry. I myself always knew that I wanted to be in healthcare. Caring for people was always what was part of what made me happy. When I was in high school, I started as a candy striper in the hospital. University, I also volunteered at a pharmacy. I volunteered at the research clinic at the downtown hospital. So what led me to optometry was that during my undergraduate degree, I was traveling with my family in the U.S. And my grandmother had fallen, and she and I started to learn more about optometry and how it relates to how we can take care of people on the various different levels. Now, to become an optometrist, one would have to complete an undergraduate degree. Now, I won't give away my age and how long of prerequisites that must be completed in order to be able to apply for optometry school, which the program is 4 years long, after which some people specialize with a residency, some may not. I love optometry. We are able to provide care for patients of all ages by diagnosing and treating conditions of the eye. Now, traditionally, as you know, we provide glasses and contact lenses. What's really important to know is that optometrists can identify many medical conditions before patients may even know that they have them. And that can include diabetes, high blood pressure, MS. We can identify strokes, tumors. They're well before any other symptoms may present and before the patient may even know about them.
All right. Okay. Now, I am really interested to know what you regard as the similarities between astronomy and optometry. You know, I think of concepts like refraction, lenses. So can you, and I'm wondering, do you own a telescope? Do you use one? And have you been to the David Dunlop Observatory?
Okay. Well, growing up, one of my favorite places was the planetarium, and it was a great planetarium that we had downtown before it closed. When I lived in New York, during my training, I loved going to the Museum of Natural History in Manhattan because, again, astronomy, I love that museum. Now, I do believe astronomy and optometry have many overlapping concepts. So they both involve the perception of light. They both involve the use of lenses, concave lenses, convex lenses. They involve the use of mirrors, magnification, all to allow us to see and learn. So the eye and the telescope we can consider similar in that light is gathered. It travels through a lens for projection onto a medium. And in the eye, it's the retina, which is like the film in the back of a traditional camera, which we don't see as much anymore. I myself don't own a telescope. I never had one as a kid myself. every day I use an instrument that's called a slit lamp. That is like a very large pair of binoculars. Optometrists use those every day to evaluate the eye, to look at the front and the back of the eye as well.
Okay, well, I think you should go to the David Dunlop Observatory. I know the astronomers, so I'm going to get you a special invite to go there.
Since I moved to York Region, I will say that that's been on my list, but
Okay.
I have to say, we've been there yet.
Okay. I'll make sure it happens. Okay. So, but do you go out and observe the night sky? Are you sort of in awe of the constellations? And the idea that you keep, the more you look at the sky at nighttime, the more your eyes adjust and see like that. I think that's so cool.
Yes, I mean, as you know, I love nature. I love being outdoors. So whether it's the day or the night, I love the sky, be outdoors. And as you know, I happen to have a puppy now, so I am outdoors. I do, and having gone from living where I grew up in Pickering. So growing up, not in the city, because when I wasn't as developed as it was now. Then moving to Manhattan, where you did not actually see a lot of the sky, the constellations, the stars, and then coming back home and now living, Richmond Hill, Markham, York region, we get to enjoy that. So
So, do you know the constellations beyond, say, the Big Dipper?
Orion's Belt, I
Okay.
believe. As a child, I did. Let's just say I'm rusty these days.
Okay. Put it on your to-do list. Okay. So, let's talk about the solar eclipse. Okay. It's coming up. And it does involve optometrists, a lot of conversation about eye care. Can you briefly explain
Yes.
this solar eclipse?
It's very exciting, and we know that on Monday, a total solar eclipse is going to cross North America. So it's going to pass over Mexico, the States, and Canada. So I looked up and found an interesting fact. So the last total eclipse that was experienced in Ontario was February 22nd in Northern Ontario. And it's said that the next one will happen in Canada in 2044. Now, the basics are that during a solar eclipse, the moon moves between the sun and the earth, partially or completely blocking the sun's rays. There are four types of solar eclipses: total, partial, hybrid, and annular. And then the type of eclipse that people get to see depends on how the moon aligns with the earth and the sun, and then how far away the moon is from the earth. Now, in a total eclipse, the moon completely blocks the bright face of the sun. In Ontario, it's said the eclipse will last about 2 to 2.5 hours. And that it's going to begin just shortly after 2 p.m.
Okay, so something to look forward to. So in terms of the anatomy of the eye, what happens when someone stares at the sun? Like there's this big concern, and it's kids not going to school. So can you talk about that and talk, are children's eyes more sensitive, or is it more of a concern for kids?
Okay, so yes, these events are very exciting, but I think we all should be aware that they, of course, pose potential risks to eyesight if precautions are not taken. So our biggest concern as it relates to the eye is to the retina, which is the back of the eye that we were talking about earlier. So now, even when 99% of the sun's surface is obscured during, let's say, the partial phases of an eclipse, that remaining crescent sun emits enough intense light to cause irreversible damage in the retina. There are no pain receptors. So you may not even realize that the damage is occurring until it's too late to prevent any vision loss. So the concern lies, which can occur without any sensation. And so not having the sensation that it's occurring can lead one to just continue watching, unaware of the harm that's being done. And sometimes symptoms of eye damage, they may not even manifest until several hours after the exposure. So crucial to avoid direct viewing of the eclipse so that we're safeguarding our vision. Now, about children. So we know children by nature are often very curious, of course. Now, my understanding is that the concern would lie in the safety of ensuring that children do not experience this that I'm referring to, or any damage to their eyes. Now, as adults, we understand the potential consequences, which may be harder for kids to fully understand. Also, we know that generally, children won't complain of any vision problems. So I would be concerned that any damage would not have been identified in time.
Okay. Now, when I look up at the sun, and I can't. Like, there's just a natural, I squint, my head moves away. So why is this different?
Well, you're absolutely right. So normally the sun is too bright to stare at. So although some of the same injuries we're talking about could potentially happen when, on any given day, these types of injuries are rare but do occur on any given day. But because the sun is blocked by the moon during the eclipse, it will seem a little easier to look at. But for most people, it'll seem bright, but you still need to wear the eclipse glasses to prevent any damage.
Okay, can you explain these goggles? Like, how are they different than regular sunglasses? And I heard they're fake goggles that are, I guess, sort of
Out there.
dangerous.
Safest option for people is to use proper eclipse glasses or solar eclipse glasses. Now, you can't just use regular sunglasses. Regardless of how dark the sunglasses appear or how many pairs of sunglasses you may put on, often sunglasses can be polarized, and polarized sunglasses reduce light glare. While the special purpose solar filters are at least 1,000 times darker than ordinary glasses. Now, I've even had friends, I've had family about if where they can purchase them. And our association, our Ontario Association of Optometrists, has a link to the American Astronomical Society, and they have a list of safe vendors to purchase from. Now, again, it's risky to buy these glasses from an unauthorized online vendors because I guess anyone can claim they're certified. If you can see ordinary lights through the eclipse glasses, they're not safe. Also to mention, it's also not safe to look at the sun through cameras, telescopes, or binoculars, but especially made filters for those types of lenses.
So the lenses are just darker, is that it? Or is there a better way of thinking about it? I'm still trying to imagine how is the actual lens of these special goggles different than sunglasses?
So a sunglass can be just a shaded or a tinted light. It could also be polarized, as I was mentioning, but these lenses will be like 1,000 times darker.
Okay, so it's the level of darkness that makes them different. Okay, thank you for answering that. Okay.
The most important is to make sure that, as you were saying, that they're not fake, and that if we're purchasing from a safe vendor.
Okay. Makes sense. Let's hope there are no incidents at all. So, okay. You said you're excited about this happening. Have you booked time off from your office on April 8th to observe the solar eclipse?
I plan to find a live streaming or a recorded version of the clips to be very safe. That's my comfort level.
So you'll watch it record. Okay. Sounds like a good plan. Okay. Anything else that you wanted to add to this discussion? This is I find very interesting. So
I would remind everyone to ensure that safety is a top priority on Monday, and symptoms of eye damage could vary. They can be blind spots, distorted vision, color changes, increased light sensitivity, eye pain. And I would say if any of these symptoms are experienced, we should go to your eye doctor to make sure that we're getting it checked and looked at.
okay, that is very good advice. Okay. I do end the podcast with a question to the same question to all guests. Name one thing that you really like about this community.
You bring together individuals from various professions, various disciplines, various industries, and we all learn from one another and how what each of us does, how we can help one another, and how we can help the community. I would say it's the first time I had experienced what when I you, would pre-COVID, when we would come to your Tuesdays at the
The theater, I think you were at.
Theater. That's
Yep.
where it was when I first
Yes.
came. Sorry.
No.
I just commitment to bringing all of us together and sharing knowledge.
Okay, no, very good. Yeah, we're now meet at the library, which I think is a great space as well. And I know you've got yourself so busy, so it's difficult for you to come, but we'll keep in touch and make sure that we still do connect up the community. So, again, I want to say I'm going to put some notes in the podcast. I encourage everyone to look at them. You provide me with some great links and things to follow up with. So, let's hope you don't have extra patients in your office for this reason, just because you need your eye exam, not because you've sustained some damage. So, let's watch it and just watch it. I'm saying, regardless if you were able to go outside, I think watching it recorded with some explanation will be an amazing thing. So, thank you again, Radhika, and we will keep in touch. Thank you for listening. I would very much appreciate you sharing this podcast. Please tune in next week as we continue to explore the community. Consider emailing me at Marge, M-A-R-J, at margeandre.com. I welcome suggestions for podcast guests. Stay well, stay connected.